Thank you, everyone who came out with part of it and who donated to it. A lot of people donated meals. So it was a great, great time. It was a St. Patrick's Day theme, right? That was the original theme, but it kind of left the boundaries of Irish food at some point, which isn't hard to do, right? You can't. It's not hard to leave the boundaries of cabbage and potatoes and corned beef, but it was good. And then there was some spaghetti and meatballs in there, Irish version. I don't know, maybe. And then some buffalo chicken, Irish buffalo chicken. Some Irish barbecue chicken. It was great. So, are we doing one next month? Yeah? Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay, so April 2nd and 3rd, Pastor Shallow will be here, so that April 3rd we'll do another lunch wrap. So Pastor Shallow's coming up. We're calling it the New England Northeast Conference. We moved away from New England because we invited the churches in New York. So it's we didn't want them to feel left out, so we called it Northeast. So the Northeast Conference, that'll be April 2nd and 3rd. More details, timeline will come. I think they're traveling up. The Bible College guys and Pastor Schaller are traveling up Saturday morning. So it'll be Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and then Sunday, however it works out Sunday. But so keep that in your prayer. Pastor Schaller, the pastor of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, and all-around great guy, so we'll have a good time with them, the Bible College guys. I think Pastor Justin's coming up from Fed Hill with a group, so try to make it to that. And then I believe it's June 11, 12, 13. June 11, 12, and 13 is the Missions Conference this year. Pastor Shibeli and the mystery bag of who comes with them, right? Pastor Ronaldo, the Armins will be here, Pastor Chris and Julie and the kids. I don't know who else will be coming. I think more people will be able to come this year than have come the last couple years, but we'll do the same. We'll have our Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll have, at some point, we'll have the Ray Full Tompkins Memorial Cookout. We'll have outreach. We'll have fellowship. I don't know, maybe spaghetti and meatballs. We'll see. Oh, is that when we do the chili cook-off? Okay, we got to get, so that plaque over there, you see it, that's the highest honor you can get in Greater Grace Christian Fellowship, and it's the Chili Cook-Off Championship, lower right-hand corner. So we got to update last year. Ashley's got to get her name on there, because she won the last one. I know, that's right, she's the one who does it, but it's also her name, so man, what do we do? So a lot of things coming up, and then of course Cantata, Easter play. Cantata's coming, and we had a meeting last night, and we're excited about what God will do with it. 2 years, we've had a two-year break. Everybody remember their lines? Yeah. The rooster still crowing? Mindo's the rooster. we priced out getting an actual rooster for the play, but then our Mindo said, you know what, I'll take care of it. And he goes behind the curtain, and he does the rooster call. Carlos's laugh behind the curtain, that laugh, man, and just a great time with the body. So that's coming. That'll be the April 16th, 15th, 14th, 13th, right? So the Wednesday through Saturday. So lots coming up. It's exciting. Okay, Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the people that we have had the privilege of meeting this week and this weekend. And thank you for putting joy in our hearts, Lord. You've put joy in our hearts. Beautiful, Lord. Thank you. Restore to us the joy of our salvation, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I thought Pastor Jim Lewis was coming tonight, but he's... He might have thought it was 6:30, actually. Maybe. Oh, he's here? Oh, okay. Okay. Great. Okay, so let's open our Bibles. How about we do that? Open with me to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel 24. What's that? Oh, yeah. Or there's a big kid one here. No? Super Gigante print. It's big. Set 1 Samuel chapter 24, in the life of David. And these stories of David, this history of David's life is incredible. And we know it a little bit. There's some foggy details. Have you read the story of David and said, how come Saul doesn't know who David is? Because remember when David is anointed king in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the spirit of God leaves Saul, and there's a distressing spirit that's sent to Saul, and he gets whatever that means. He's anxious or he's angry, and in that he looks for somebody to come and play music to relax him. And David is the one who plays in Saul's court, and he soothes him. Right? It's interesting. The Spirit of God would leave someone, go to somebody else, and then that person would be the one who comforts the other one. And it says that he became like one of Saul's sons. Like he was in his house, he was there always, and he would go back and take care of the sheep, and then he would come back. But I don't know how much time passes between 1 Samuel 16 and then 1 Samuel 17, where David goes to the war. There's the war with the Philistines, and it's the story of David and Goliath. And David comes out, right? Isn't it great? David comes out and he says, I'll take him down. Right? And he goes right out there, marches out there without any armor, with his little sling and his stone, and he takes down Goliath. And what is Saul's response? Who is this kid? Who is this kid? I don't know how that happens. Maybe the time he grows up, whatever it is. But anyway, Saul says, who is this? It's David. And again, he becomes a part of Saul's household. In a sense, he becomes a member of the family. He becomes a general in the army. And he's like valiant, loyal to Saul, brave in battle. And then also, humble, right? Because he's always going back. There's Pastor Jim. Hey, Pastor Jim. Good to see you. So David is all of these things. But now, how does Saul thank David for his loyalty and for his supports and how David fought for his kingdom? David fought for Saul. Didn't he? He did. How did Saul thank him? By trying to throw a harpoon through his chest. Multiple times. Pastor Shabelli said at one time that Saul tried to take David out 20-something times. And it's there. You can go through the story and find it. That's how he thanks him. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 24, we can read in verse 1. It says, this. I love the hat, Mark. Mark, I love the hat and the scarf. Oh, it's a complete ensemble tonight. Love it. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. How many men does David have? Do you know? 400. 400. What'd you say, Mark? Was it Chris? 10? Yeah, you know. It's closer than... Saul has 3,000, David has 400. How did David get 400 men? He was hiding in a cave for his life, and Saul's chasing him. And it says, everyone who's in distress, everyone who's in debt, and everyone who's in despair found themselves in David's presence. Isn't that good? Like, what was David thinking? Like, really? He didn't call these guys. He didn't say, hey, all you people who are like economically stressed, physically stressed, emotionally stressed, join me in the cave. We can have a good time. No, they came to him, they found him, And he became the, these leader. These guys aren't Jewish either. Some of them are Gentiles, right? So they find him and they come to him and they become like the strongest force. These 400 eventually are 600, and they are like a wrecking ball. Nobody can stop them. So Saul gathers to himself 3,000 people. And I said this the other night, but you can go through these stories, this history, and see that David has a lot of people who are drawn to him, and those are loyal, that are loyal to him. Saul has to acquire people, right, by order, right? He makes them do it. So he takes these 3,000 men, and they go after David. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs, so polite. Right? David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. Okay. David's men, he trusts them. They're loyal. They're battle ready. These guys are great guys. They see the opportunity as plain as day. They say, listen, this could alleviate all of our stress right now. This deals with all our problems. You take him out, the kingdom is yours. All of everything's done. It's dealt with. David gets up, and what does he do? Do you remember? He cuts a little corner of Saul's robe, right? And he takes it. And then he goes out and he calls out to Saul. Right? He says, I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to kill him. Why? Because he's God's anointed. It's not my place to kill him. But these guys, these good guys are saying to him, yeah, but you're our anointed also. And he's been a pain in our side. And you could do it. It would be right. It would be just. He's tried to kill you 25 times. You could end it right now. Right? But David says this, verse 6, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So he makes himself known. David arose afterwards, went out of the cave and called to Saul, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of the men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm? All right, these guys are saying, listen, David's a bad guy. We got to get rid of him. He's going to be the end of you. And David is here saying, why do you listen to them? What do I need to do? I've done everything to show you that I'm not going to take your, I don't want to do that. He says in verse 10, look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eyes spared you and said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe, and I did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. He's there. And ultimately, David felt like he was corrected by God for even cutting the robe, didn't he? He said, I shouldn't have even touched the garment. I shouldn't have even cut that. That was like crossing the line. Saul receives this. He listens to it. He says, okay, I'll leave you alone. In a sense, okay, I get it. I'll leave you alone. And then they go off their separate ways. But then Samuel dies. Saul gets a little skittish and again starts to pursue David. Verse chapter 26. The Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding in the hill of Hakiah, opposite Jeshuamon? That's the fun part about this. There's so many things that just no, there's, it's impossible. We don't, can't make those sounds. What is this? Saul, it seems Saul is not pursuing David here. He's not actively hunting him down. But there are people who give Saul the word. And it's almost like he's baited into it. Like, come on, let's go after David again. And he can't help it. So Saul comes down and he goes after David again. And it's a cool scene. You read the story that they come up to the city. David gets a word from God to get out. And he goes this way. Saul comes this way. And it says, as David's on one side of the mountain, Saul's on the other side of the mountain. And it's like this Tom and Jerry game around this mountain. And ultimately, Saul gets a message that the Philistines are gathering up strength and they're going to come after him. But before that, they're camping out and they fall asleep. And read the story, but it says that God made a deep sleep come over the camp, over the army. So there is Joab, who is Saul's general. He's a powerful guy. It's his job to take care of Saul. Right? He's like the bodyguard, Secret Service. He is asleep, dead, out like a light. So much so that David is able to walk into the camp and walk right up to the king. And the way they say it, that he's camped in the middle and everyone else is camped out around him. He walks through all of these soldiers, like the biggest, baddest guys in Israel, and right up to the king. And there, his men encourage him again. This time he only has a few guys with him. It's Abishai and they walk right up and they say, okay, now this is undeniable. Go, this is it. And you can read that story and say, okay, God made Saul and the whole army sleep deep. God did it. The counsel was, here's your great opportunity. Like, take him. Take your place. Take what is yours. But what does he do? I'm not touching him. Instead, he takes his spear and he takes his hydro flask, his little bottle of water. He takes it and he walks out. And then he's up on the hillside in the morning and he says, hey, Saul, where's your water? Saul's like, it's right. Uh-oh. And David has it. He says, I have it. Look, I could have done it again. I could have very easily done it, but I didn't. Why? Because Saul is anointed. Right? And it's not David's place to take Saul's life. And it's not even his place to take his own throne. Right? But he will honor what God has put in place. So Saul, this seems to be the end of this kind of game that they play. David stays for the rest of the time. David stays at a distance. He acquires a city, Ziklag. That's where he sets up his camp. And his 600 men, they go around wreaking havoc until Saul passes away. And then they take his body. They honor Saul and Jonathan. And then David is installed in Judah as the king. And then 7 years later, he's installed in Israel. The whole nation of Israel is united again under David. So, it's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. Saul took every opportunity he could to kill David. David had two seemingly, like you could even read this story and say, oh my gosh, God is delivering Saul into his hand. He put him to sleep. Right? But it's not for David to do what he wants. Imagine that. But it's for David to hear from God. It's for David to honor God. Like, God doesn't always control our hand. You know what I mean? Like, rare, he doesn't. He honors our free volition. But he will give us opportunities where it's like, I could do either one and it seems like it's God's will, but I want to hear from God. I want to be a mature believer, and I want to believe that God will lead me in the right decision. And I that's the thing I want to say tonight, that that God will put us in positions where maybe the definition is not super clear. And maybe it seems like it's all going one way, but just because it's going that way doesn't mean we have to do it. But we have, in that time, we have the ability to stop and to hear God's voice and to ask for direction, ask for leading. And ultimately, what we want to do in that is that we want to honor God. We want to honor what God has done. We want to honor what God is doing. We want to honor what God has called us. Because David in the life of Saul, and then in his own life, had an understanding of an anointing. That he was anointed, he knew that, right? Didn't he? 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel anointed him. He poured the oil on his head. He anointed him as the king of Israel. So he knew he was anointed, but also he knew Saul was anointed. Isn't that interesting? But he's my enemy. He's after me. He's pursuing me. No, that's not the point. It's the anointing. So much so that David wouldn't take matters into his own hand, but he would trust God's anointing. And just because, so every decision that David made, in every step that he took in these big things, what was important? The anointing. The anointing, right? Because Saul was anointed, does that mean David wasn't? No. It just meant God was doing something. Right? Patience, David. Imagine that. This guy. David is serving the king. And the king is trying to kill him when he is the king. But he's patient. He's mature. Right? He takes his time and he honors God. Right? So I want to honor what God has done in somebody else's life. And I also want to honor what God has done in my life. We spoke today about the body of Christ, right? This morning and then in the wrap, the body of Christ, body life. The thing that will help me recognize the body of Christ is when I recognize that every one of us as believers is anointed. And when something comes up against the unity of Christ and something comes up against the body of Christ, it's easy for us to sit down and make a list of right and wrong or just and unjust. But that's not what we're doing. If David were to sit there in this cave and make a list of what's right and wrong and what's just and unjust, he would have been in the good balance, right? And Saul would have been in the wrong, and therefore he would have been justified. But instead, he goes to a higher measurement, and that measurement or that identification is the anointing of God. So in the body of Christ, we want to be aware of the anointing, right? And that's another term, right? The anointing. We have anointed messages. We have anointed worship times, anointed songs, anointed prayer. Yes, that. But what I'm talking about is the individual. We are all anointed in the sense that we have the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? We have it. We have that as a guarantee, as a seal. It is what sets us apart in this world and also in the spiritual world is this Holy Spirit. And it anoints us. He's our anointing oil, right? So when I have something with a brother or a sister, or I have in myself a complaint or a frustration, I want to reflect on the anointing of God and make my decision based on the anointing. Remember we said this a while ago. He said we could have a problem with somebody. Anybody ever have a problem with anybody?
No?
Okay. Well, let me fill you in. Sometimes people and people don't mix. No, and we can have a problem, right? We could. It happens. It happens, right? Life is stressful. Life is fast moving. Something happens. I could look at somebody through what they did to me, how they wronged me. And I mean, I joke a little bit, but also I know there are big things that happen. There are big offenses, and there are things. But how can we overcome them and maintain the unity of the body of Christ? The unity that we have in the body of Christ is not the lack of difficulty, right? It's not because there is only ease because we all always get along. No, that's not the unity. The unity is, despite the difficulty, despite the problem, despite the offense, we deal with each other in the anointing. We recognize each other that you are anointed, I am anointed, and we have the ability to forgive, and we have the ability to come to a healing in this. And it might mean that, you know, we might not be singing Kumbaya, but we can be in the same room because we're in the room based on Christ, not on our differences or our offenses. So this is something that makes the church unique, because we're more than just a club. Like, David is very unique in this. He doesn't take matters into his own hands, and he doesn't keep the ledger. Like this, if we had the ledger going, that would be, Tonita comes to give us a bulletin. We say, you can't give me that. How dare you give me that bulletin? You gave me a cold cup of coffee last week. No, you can't give me a bulletin. You want to be nice to me now? No, we don't keep a list. We don't keep a list. Why? Why do we say that? How can we say that we don't keep a list? Because Christ doesn't keep a list with us. Right? Colossians 2, verse 14. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us has been blotted out at the cross. That's incredible. The handwriting of ordinances which was against us, that is the law. The law, which is right and just and holy, pure, put us in a bad position. And by the law, because the law came, Romans 7, our sin is defined. Remember Paul says it? The law came, sin revived, and I died. Right? It's like the sad commentary on the natural man. The law came, sin revived, and I died. Christ came and blotted out those ordinances, the law that was contrary to us. He fulfilled the law. But also the sins that we have, the wrong that we have, is blotted out also. In the Psalms, when David says, if he dealt with me according to our sins, who could stand? In Psalm 103. But instead, in Psalm 51, he deals with us according to his loving kindness and his mercy. So the list is gone. It's blotted out. Like, imagine if God kept it, like in his, if he wore a suit coat, if he kept it in his pocket. And every time we came to him in prayer, he would be like, all right, well, let's see how the week went. Ooh, Monday, not good. Tuesday, all right. Wednesday, church Wednesday night, that was good. That was good. Ooh, what happened Thursday morning? Huh? What was that all about? Man. No, that handwriting, that has been blotted out. So now we are also free in the body of Christ to not have a list. To not have a list. Colossians 3 says, we forgive you. It says that Christ has forgiven us, so also you must do. It's not like a suggestion, but it's an imperative. Like, we do it. It's not an option. Like, Christ didn't come down and forgive us of our sins so that we could play with each other's emotions whether we forgive each other or not. No, he came and he gave us the Holy Spirit and he anointed us so that we would have the liberty to forgive each other and walk in unity and behold that and dwell together in unity that was produced at the cross. Right? The price of it was extraordinary. So, that's what David did. He was aware of the anointing. And we also, let's be people who are aware of the anointing, that each one of us is a unique person, a child of God, a chosen, peculiar person. How many peculiar people are there here tonight? Right? We're peculiar. Right? We're peculiar. Right? We all have green hats and green hair, no hair, all kinds, the whole spectrum. Huh? I know. Yeah, I'm with you, Chris. So what's going on? I don't know. I miss these days. There's too many days to keep track of. every day is this day and that day and this day, turtle day, hamster day, hedgehog day. Like, I can't keep track. Every day is something. It's like that point where everything is a special day, therefore no days are special at all. Just Sunday special. Got me right there. Love you, Chris. But yeah, so let's be aware of it, right? Let's be aware of the anointed. Peculiar people. You know what a peculiar person is? We have our understanding of peculiar is like a little funny, right? A little strange. He said it. But actually what it means biblically is a purchased possession. That we are a peculiar people, meaning we are a people that God purchased. That's incredible. That's incredible. So when I have something with somebody, I say, that is somebody that God has purchased. I am someone who God has purchased. And what is the currency? His precious blood. His precious blood. Right? So we can be like David. Right? We can be in the cave thinking about people. Opportunity for vengeance. And then also we can say, God, would you lead me? The mature believer is someone who can hear from God in those situations and make the decision. Right? David learned, didn't he? He felt corrected by God for cutting the corner of his robe off. And they're like, David, chill out. You didn't kill him. He's like, but I touched him. I shouldn't have done that. So then the next time, it's even easier, seemingly, right? It's even easier, and even maybe God delivered him because God put him to sleep. And Joab's over there cutting lumber. He's just like sawing logs. He can't even get up. And David said, I'm not touching him. And he takes his spear and he gives it back to him. Yeah. He gives it back to him. He says, by the way, you can have this back. You tried to pin me to a wall with this thing, but I'll give it back to you because I trust God. I know I'm anointed. I know that he has a plan for me. I know you are too, Saul, so we can live. So that's it. honor God. We could sum it up in that sentence. Honor God. What happens when we honor God? He honors us. He does. Now, how does that work? Do we say, God, I'm honoring you. It's time to pay up. I've been honoring you. Why is this going on? No, because David still had time, didn't he? He couldn't even go home. His wife was given away to somebody else. There was still offense. There was still difficulty. There was still distance. But in time, God honored David and brought him in. Right? So God honors us, not always the way that we would prescribe it, right? But in ways that he knows will glorify himself. So, amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for this history. Thank you for these stories. And thank you for leading us in maturity, Lord. We need you. Help us this week as we face offense, as we face obstacles, we face difficulty, that you would lead us through it, Lord. Thank you for the victory that you've put in our lives, Lord. Help us to see the victory. Help us to see light, Lord, that we wouldn't only see darkness, Lord. Deliver from fear, anxiety, pride, Lord, and lead us in righteousness. Pray for our kids, every school that they're in, every level from preschool up through college, Lord, that you would help them, you would lead them, you would help us as parents and body members to answer their questions and interrupt darkness, Lord. Pray for work, everybody looking for a job, everybody with a job, everybody looking to hire, wherever we are in the phase of work, Lord, that you would bless our businesses, you would bless our employment, and you would give us opportunities in it to be missionaries, Lord. I pray for our plans in the church as we have exciting things coming up. We pray for our Easter event, our Northeast Conference, our Missions Conference, our trip to Baltimore with the convention. Lord, help us, lead us, provide everything needed. Pray for the churches in Ukraine. Lord, pray for Pastor Misha in Lviv. Lord, all the supplies going in, all the help there is, Lord, help, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, we got it.